This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you are listening to The Morning Run. It's 7:05 a.m. on Monday, the 7th of February, 2022, the seventh day of Chinese New Year.
Happy birthday to everyone, by the way. This is what we call Yan Yat.
Happy birthday to the world. I'm Shazana Mokhtar, together with Wang Xiaoning and Tan Chen Li. We'll be taking you through the morning all the way up to 10 a.m. But as we always do at this time of morning, let's recap how global markets closed on Friday.
Yes, let's start with the U.S. markets. Dow was down 0.6%, S&P 500 up 0.5%, Nasdaq up 1.6%. Asian markets, Nikkei up 0.7%, Hang Seng up 3.2%, Shanghai Composite was closed, STI up 0.5%, FEMK LCI down 0.2%.
So we did see the S&P 500 and the Nasdaq close up, I think, really well, considering that there was that slight blip with Facebook earnings and the fallout that came from it. But for some thoughts on where markets are headed, we have on the line with us Jack Kuzi, Director for Strategy at VFS Group in Sydney. Jack, good morning. Thanks very much for joining us. So investors are expecting China equities to have a good run this year as the PBOC pursues more dovish policies in contrast to the U.S. Federal Reserve. Can I ask, what are the animal spirits telling you? Are you bullish or bearish in the year of the tiger?
That's a great question to start a Monday morning. Good morning, everybody, and happy Chinese New Year. Look, I think we need to understand where China is coming from. So the point of increasing liquidity, you've seen them, you know, lower rates. What we need to understand, some might think of that as a bit of panic by the Chinese economy or the Chinese PBOC, but what we need to understand is over the last 18 to 24 months, China has been in a cycle of deleveraging. They've tried to push asset prices down. They've tried to prevent asset bubbles, and they have tried to deleverage that economy considerably, and they've achieved some of those goals. So again, China is out of unison with the rest of the world. The whole world is looking to hike rates. They're looking to lower rates and then pump some more liquidity into the economy. I think that's going to be a good thing for them. I'm bullish Chinese equities, but I'm generally bullish Chinese equities in general. After such a tough year, particularly in the Chinese tech sector, valuations look quite attractive. You know, we've got Baba reporting sometime this week. It's a bit of a gripe that you can't, that Baba can't tell us on what day they want to report. But that will give us a really good gauge about how these Chinese tech companies will go, which is a big gauge of the Chinese economy. So I think there's a lot of favorable ingredients for Chinese markets this year. And one of those is the increased liquidity and the increased leverage by the authorities there. So I think it's going to be an outperformer this year. It obviously was a very major underperformer, but I think valuations are quite attractive, particularly in that tech sector, particularly when you compare it to its US peers. So I'm quite bullish in the year of the tiger, but I think the next couple of months as we start to get reporting. So you'll see Barber this week, and then March is a big sleuth of reporting for Chinese equities, particularly amongst its tech sector, amongst its bank, and amongst its semiconductor companies. So ask me in March, but I think it's going to be a great China.
Okay, Jack, let's switch our attention to the U.S. because it seems like NASDAQ is not having a very good year-to-date. Performance is rather mixed. And we saw Amazon lead gains, while, of course, Facebook had, I would say, a real collapse. How do you separate the winners and losers in this sector?
Yeah, let's talk about just Meta, for example, at the moment, which is obviously, you know, in the news and in the headlines. Tim Cook won, Mark Zuckerberg zero at the moment after a big move. I mean, there's a lot of headwinds for this company, and you're right. You need to separate some of them. Now, the Meta report wasn't great, but Amazon was fantastic. E-commerce numbers were up, and I think AWS was the massive winner. We saw Microsoft a week and a half ago. That did very well, and we also saw Apple do really, really well. So, and also Google. So there are certainly some winners and some losers amongst these. I think at the moment, those three that I named will continue to be growth stocks. I think they're going to continue to outperform markets, and I think they're going to continue to be all-weather stocks. Meta's got a big question in front of it right now. So, you know, the guidance was awful, 3 to 11% growth. That really spooked the market. They did see a decline in daily active users. And, you know, this whole re-pivot towards the metaverse, well, you know, they're talking about, you know, 10 to 15 years worth of losses here. So the market is really looking at where is the growth for a company that's been a great growth market. So I think there's a lot of question marks over what they do. we do need to remind ourselves that they've been in this kind of situation almost two or three times. The last time was that Cambridge Analytica scandal where they dropped 20 to 25% and they regained those. But there are a lot of question marks about how they continue to grow. iOS is obviously hurting them a lot and a declining sales market in terms of advertising. And they are re-pivoting towards this Meta, which is losing a lot of money. So a lot of question marks over that stock. But I think in terms of what we've seen out of Amazon, Google, and Microsoft, fantastic again. So I still believe these will outperform in what will be, a growing market. But they're the ones to go out of those top four for sure in my mind.
Jack, let's stay on the technology space, but I want to look at this and at the semiconductors. Are you keen on any of the names?
Yeah, they've been actually, in a relatively weak market in January. They were quite weak. And even on bounces like we saw on Friday, they were also a little bit weak. But just before I came on, you alluded to chip shortages and Ford, reducing their numbers. So that continues to be a theme going forward. Look, as we start to expand this fourth industrial revolution, as we start to move towards the Internet of Things, 5G starts to roll out, we start to move more towards, artificial intelligence, robotics, and they become more part of our lives, they're going to have to be fueled by hardware, and that's going to be the chip sector. I think this is a core of any portfolio. You might have some volatility going forward, but I think chips are like big mega cap tech. They must be part of your portfolio. It's just the question of whether you're overweight or underweight. This is the epicenter of any portfolio that I bring up. I think you need to have chip allocation. It's part of the new world, it's part of the old world, and it's going to continue to be in high demand. And I think we're going to still continue to see chip shortages well into, the first half of this year. So yes, I'm still bullish on chips, have been a long time, and will continue to have that as a core part of my portfolio and my clients.
Not sure if you follow Peloton, but what was a work-from-home darling is hitting a rough patch. Amazon and even Nike are circling around like a shark smelling blood. Do you see more deals like this happening?
Yeah, I mean, you just got to ask yourself, where is the growth for Peloton? I mean, you had a pandemic, people are at homes. Everybody that was going to buy a bike, I think, bought a bike and is using it. And then you got to ask yourself, what is Peloton's moat? What defends it from players? What defends it from competitors? And there's not much. I mean, it's a bike with an iPad on it. To call this company a software company, I think is, a bit of a stretch. In the end, it's a bike, stationary bike with some software. So I think there's going to be a lot of pain for Peloton going forward. Like you said, as rivals circle, it's, let's talk about the barriers to entry into this. It's not that difficult. And this is a company I do not want to own, never owned, and wouldn't own it right here, that's for sure.
Jack, thanks very much for speaking with us this morning. That was Jack Kuzi, Director for Strategy at VFS Group, ending the conversation with the very vehement call that he will never own Peloton.
The share or the bike, I wonder. Or maybe both.
But yes, lots of things to talk about when it comes to global markets. And Jack, as always, is bullish on Chinese tech and tech in general, naming the big tech firms, like you mentioned, MAMA last week, Xiaoning, the new acronym. It's no longer FANG. It's MAMA, except for the first M, probably. Meta's out of the picture. But Microsoft, Amazon, Apple, all still good plays for the time being.
Yeah. So you've got to distinguish between the winners and the losers, right? That's the key thing. He still sees growth as a theme that we should continue to focus on in 2022. But I think he recognizes that markets are going to be volatile, especially Chinese tech. So yeah, the liquidity into the system is going to help. But whether it filters down to share price, a run-up in share price, maybe not immediately, but in the medium term, definitely. So keep a lookout on Chinese stocks. In fact, Hang Seng Index, it opened for one day on Friday after the Chinese New Year break, and it was actually up 3.24% on a year-to-date basis, still up 5%. It was the laggard last year. So we are seeing some, headwinds into this. Well, not headwinds.
Tailwinds.
Tailwinds into this market and pushing it up. I think everyone's looking at the laggards.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.